I want to talk to you real quickly about I want to take a couple different angles on this word, shall be witnesses, or these words rather. First of all, Calvin, we are to witness for him. Now, I don't want to diminish that in any way or form. We are to be witnesses. Now, what does a witness tell? A witness tells what they know. If you're in court and a witness, if you're called to the witness stand, you're required to tell truth. Exactly. And you are required to tell what you know. Okay. So we need to be sharing what we know. You know, I've often said, it would be sad for someone in your everyday, life, whether it's a coworker or whatever the case may be, if something were to happen to them and you have to think about, I never did share Christ with them. I never did share Jesus with them. Amen. It's important that we witness to people and we tell them about the plan of salvation. Amen. Now, the best way to witness is one of the best ways to witness is to tell people what God has done in your life. That's your testimony. I can't share James's testimony or Curtis's, but I can share mine. Amen. Now, so are we all on the same page in that we are to be witnesses? Evangelism. Tell people about Jesus. Invite people to church. Damon Thompson was talking about that Saturday night. He was talking about, you know, how many people have you invited to church lately? You know, how many, you know, and maybe sometimes you get tired and you get frustrated. You ask somebody to come to church. They don't come. Don't give up on them. Aren't you glad they didn't give up on you? You know, do an act of kindness. You know, there was a guy, in our community several years ago that got saved. And my mother-in-law asked him to come to church, and she told him, she said, I will make you a pan of peanut butter fudge if you'll come to church. He came on a pan of peanut butter fudge. And guess what? He got saved and became a deacon in the church. Yeah, it's a sweet deal. It's true. But he was a very humble man, and it wasn't too many years after that he got killed with a tree. You guys know who I'm talking about. A tree fell. He was a co-operator. They were facing up a new coal mine, James, an area, and cutting trees and stuff, pushing over some trees with a bulldozer or whatever, like that. And a tree fell and you know, but he was ready to go home to be with Jesus. So, I mean, you know, it's important that we invite people to church. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Now, let's look at that. And I got some stuff in my notes I want to share with you. But let's look at that from another angle. I don't want you to miss this. You shall receive power. Everybody can say power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Now I want you to see it from this angle. People you should be a witness to the power. You should be a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? Does that not mean we're not supposed to knock on doors? That's what I'm saying. We're supposed to knock on doors. But I'm telling you, you also should be a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that? What I'm saying is there should be some things happening in your life that is evidence to the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. People should be able to witness there's something happening in Curtis's life. There, you know, when people he works with and people, and I'm just using him for an example, but all of us, You know, there should be a witness to what's going on in our lives. People should see some kind of fruit. Something's different, you know, in your life because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You have become a living, walking testimony and a witness. Amen. You know, and even though you know, you may not be trying to force this gospel down people's throats, but they can look at you and see you are a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because there's things happening in your life. You should be different. Yeah, and I'm not talking about different for the sake of being different. I'm just talking about people should be looking at you different in the midst of it's a lot of bad situations going on in the world around us. Amen? All right. Somebody say, make us witnesses. How many like to see our Father's house just become a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit in a way we've never seen it before? That people wouldn't show up here, and I'm using a line from Damon Thompson's sermon Saturday night, but I'm telling you, it burned up my heart, man. Wanda can tell you, and Lisa can tell you, and we were just like, you know, he preached for an hour and 15 minutes, and we were just like, I mean, and it was no hype. It was no, you know, man, you guys are it. You are the church. It was just like, you need to wake up and get yourself in gear and get going. Amen. And you was, you know, if you were convicted, by the word of God, but, I'm probably just paraphrasing, but, he made one statement in there that too many of our churches have become Christian concerts and there's no power of the Holy Spirit. There's no witness of the Holy Spirit. And you say, Pastor, I thought you're supposed to be teaching on evangelism. Hey, you start letting the power of the Holy Spirit start being operated. You're talking about an evangelistic spirit coming alive. You're talking about evangelism. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost. Here's evangelism. 3,000 saved in one day. You know, here's the key. The Holy Spirit can do more in just a few seconds, Daniel, than we could work all our lives by our own efforts, by our own physical efforts. Now, again, I'm a believer, and I'm not trying to make excuses and say we don't need to get outside these walls and beat the bushes. And you know, we're going to do that. And we're going to have a tent revival in September across the street here for 5 days. And we're going to come together in unity with the local pastors and stuff and just preach the word and bring other worship teams in and just worship God and come together and preach to the masses here in this area. We're going to do that. But I'm telling you, when the power of the Holy Spirit shows up, evangelism is going to come alive. Amen. It's not going to be fruitless effort, but we're going to see reward. We're going to see fruit. Amen. Somebody say amen. Do you believe that? Make us evangelists, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me share a couple of things in my notes here. Okay, I'm going to pick up where I left off last Wednesday, and I'm going to read you this statement again. God. Evangelism comes from unity also. Amen. Somebody say unity. God is not going to add people to a divided, selfless, ambitious, or carnal church. Amen. He's going to restrain the harvest until we step up to Christ-centered unity. Amen. This is why we labor. You know what I tell you a few weeks ago, that the lack of unity will hinder or stop, delay. That's what I'm looking for. It will delay the move of God. Amen? So here's the thing. This is why we labor to unite the body of Christ. Only as the church becomes one, then does the world believe. The world's not, they're not going to believe if the church is divided. Now, don't get me wrong. You may see a few people saved. I'm talking about an all out, just, 1,000 souls. Can we believe God for 1,000 souls? Where are you going to put them, Pastor? I don't know. We'll put them somewhere, trustee. Charles is going to build us a building. Amen. I've got confidence in him. He's going to get us some space. Amen. Here's the thing. Our vision is simple. We desire to add as many people to the kingdom as we can. If your heart is to see the lost saved and people become more Christ-like, you're in the right place. So here's the thing. Our vision, everybody say that with me. Say our vision must be God's vision. And what I mean by that is I'm not saying God needs to get over. I'm saying it should be the same vision. We can reverse it if you feel more comfortable. God's vision must be our vision. In other words, what God wants, we need to see, and God, you know, God's not so, his vision is not just about seeing us show up every week to receive our blessing. God's vision is to see the lost saved and to see people added to the kingdom. And God, give us that passion. Give us a passion for the lost soul in evangelism. I would that we would see the prostitute going down the street here and our hearts would just break. Not with a judgmental spirit. Because folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're no better than they are. You know, and that thing's got to go with us looking down our noses at others than thinking we're better than they are. That's pride, and God won't bless that. I'm telling you, God won't bless it. You know, and we think we can do everything, but no, it just don't work that way. It's not about our abilities. Amen. Acts 2 and 5. Look what it says here. God desires all men. Somebody say all men. Here's what happened on Pentecost. They were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Amen. Wow. Every nation under heaven. So could we take from that verse that God desires all men? The rich, poor, amen. No matter where you live, where you grow up, how much money you have in the bank, how much money you don't have in the bank, skin color, amen. We gotta get past all that junk and different cultures. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. God still wants them. Amen. It's the spirit of evangelism. You got to have it before you got to have that attitude. Amen. So we want to see the Lord desires all men. Somebody say again, say all men. Go to First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy 2. I won't keep you long. We've had an awesome prayer time tonight. I know you guys got to work tomorrow, as I do as well. I appreciate you so much coming out on Wednesday. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, thank you, Dwayne, prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for, everybody say it, for kings. I mean, like to see the politicians get saved. Amen. You want to see government change? Get the politicians saved. Why don't the jailer ask Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? I mean, like to see the some of the political leaders in our area show up at church and say, what must I do to be saved? You know, I don't care what the media says about me. I just want to be saved. How many like to see President Obama get saved? He needs to be saved. Oh, I got to be careful, don't I? You want to get that Islamic spirit out of the White House? Get the president saved. Amen. It's the truth. Oh, a bunch of people dancing all around the truth today, aren't they? Don't speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Amen. There's an Islamic spirit in the White House and it needs to go. And the best way for it to go is for the Spirit of God to come in and just push it right out through the people in there to speak against that spirit and cast it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. For kings and for all that are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have, say it with me, all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? Who will have all men to be saved? You know, there's nobody, Greg, that God doesn't want to see saved. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how far in sin they have ventured. You know, there's another scripture that says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, newsflash, God wants to save your worst enemy. How about this? How about we start praying for our worst enemy, if you have one? How about that person you just can't stand to be around? How about we start praying for them? Ooh, that's tough, Pastor. You know, that person that's said wrong things about you. How about start praying for them? You know, we've all been there. You know, Christ, man, he was there, wasn't he? So God desires, no matter what, you know, no matter what we think of anyone, God desires them to be saved. So he's so willing, Judy, that he gives many opportunities for people to choose him. Oftentimes, right up to the point before the unsaved die, they have a chance and they have an opportunity. Now, I want to talk real quickly about some practical outreach. Go to 1 Corinthians. Just give me just a few more minutes and we'll let you guys go tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What it says here, practical outreach. Here's some practical outreach. Let's go to verse 19. This is a good verses right here. It's a good teaching. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Verse 20. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law is without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Look at verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Look what he said here. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, what is that, Pastor? What's he saying there? What he's saying is you may have to drop your ideas and what you think is always the best thing. Practical outreach. Let me give you an example. There's so many we could use. You know, there may be somebody walking this door that the very thing that's going to draw them to the altar is an old hymn. But I can't worship to hymns. You know, I like Hillsong. You know, or I like Jesus culture. Guess what? I like Jesus culture. You know, it's my preference. That style of music is my preference. But, you know, we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it's like that one morning I got Wanda's mother up to sing How Great Thou Art. You know, now I know some of the old stuff, I just assume we just leave it in the book. But some of those songs are anointed. Amen? And they carry an anointing. Now, I'm not being critical by no means of our worship leader. She does a tremendous job selecting our music. And I mean, it's just awesome. But I'm just using that as an illustration. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit, and we need to become all things to all men, that we might win some to the gospel. Change, you know, your way of the way you maybe like things sometimes. Amen. Oh, y'all understanding that and receiving that? We need to be willing to bend a little. And that's just one example. And it's not always just in the church service. I'm talking about life in general. You know, don't be above people. Whoever who you're around, do whatever it takes, you know, to try to win them. Amen. If it means talking about Kentucky basketball or whatever, use the open door. Get your foot in the door. And then when the opportunity comes, you know, you don't want to just go in just pounding the Bible and say you're going to hell if you don't repent. You need to, you know, build relationships. Amen. Are y'all with me? Okay. One more thought here. We'll close for the night. On Pentecost Sunday, several thousand that were drawn to the spiritual phenomena exploding in the upper room. You had the sound of rushing wind and the flaming tongues of fire. And Peter rose and proclaimed to the crowd what, you know, the significance of what they were observing. Just give me your attention for a few minutes, and I promise we'll end. He quoted the prophet Joel. You know, he said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And so on. So it was a very significant, event. Amen. Pentecost. But here's the thing. It only represented the first installment. And Jesus said, you know, the full harvest is going to be at the end of the age. How many believe we're at the end of the age? Amen. So he's going to pour out his spirit on everybody. You believe that? Regardless of cultures, class, geography, any of those things. And so we need to be thinking about not only what happened, but what's still coming. Amen. The Lord says he's going to pour out. So here's what the Lord is telling us we should expect. An anointing that is coming to the church that will rise up, and it's going to relieve a prophetic generation. How many believes our young people are going to prophesy? An anointing's coming, and your sons and daughters, they're going to change, man. They're going to change. These kids, you know, and listen, the word prophesy, it carries a twofold meaning in the scriptures. You know, in one sense, it means to proclaim the word, to prophesy, to speak the word. But yet, in another sense, it means to speak as the Spirit moves upon you. You speak prophetically. And I'm looking for Isaac and Blake and James and these kids. I mean, anytime they could just stand up and start speaking the word. And I promise you, I'll step out of the way and say, speak. Amen. It's coming. Somebody say it's coming. That's right. It's starting right now. You hear it? Amen. That's awesome. All right. Somebody say, save the lost. I'm closing here. Perhaps, maybe, I think that the greatest, I don't want you to miss what I'm going to tell you, but I guess I'm kind of leaving you on a down note, but I want you to hear this. Perhaps the greatest barrier to revival on a large scale is the fact that we're too interested in a great display. Amen. Could it be that we're too interested in a great display? You know, in what we want to see, James. We want an exhibition. Amen. God is looking for people who are just going to throw themselves entirely on Him. Amen. Now don't miss what this last sentence. Whenever self-effort, self-glory, self-seeking, or self-promotion enters into the work of revival, then God leaves us to ourselves. So if we want to see evangelism, we want to see revival, we want to see this thing really explode, then self has to be moved out of the way. And could I get a group of people? Could I get a group of people that come Sunday morning? You'll say, God, you know, I don't really care where I get a blessing or not. Just save somebody today. Now you're going to get your blessing. I promise you that God's going to pour out and you're going to receive. But, you know, it needs to go away from self-seeking, self-promoting, self-glory, self-effort to saying, God, just save somebody, change somebody, set somebody free. Amen. How many knows we get too caught up and say, well, I really need to get something from the Lord. And I understand people are facing things. They're going through things and we need that. I know that people need that. We need that, Charles. We need that, Jill. We need that strength. It's rough out there, but we need to have the attitude of saying, Lord, set somebody free today.